LBC, good morning. I'm Clive Bull with you till four, and we're talking technology between now and three. And I'm joined by Fevzi Turkalp from gadgetdetective.com. He's got a podcast you can download from there as well. Morning, Fevzi.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. I wanted to talk to you particularly about the right to repair and repairing our own goods, which seems to be increasingly difficult. And there's been a lot of headlines about Apple's new announcement, a so-called self-service repair program. Tell me more.
Yeah, so Apple announced this. It's due to start in America at the beginning of next year, maybe come over here sometime after that. This is an unusual one because it's designed to allow consumers to repair their own devices. And even Apple say that actually this isn't going to be a suitable program for the vast majority of people who have faulty devices will get them repaired. I would no more repair my car or seek to repair my car than I would seek to repair my iPhone. And the reason for that is that these devices are not designed to be easily maintainable. Used to be the case with smartphones and other phones that, you know, you could just pop the back off and replace a battery, for example. And now phones are glued shut. You have to use it.
Do they do that deliberately so we can't repair them, or are there other reasons?
There are other reasons, but it's possible to do it without gluing things shut and still make them slim and still, you know, make them waterproof and all the rest of it. There are ways of doing that. So if manufacturers are serious about this, and design is the stage where you have to start building in sort of maintainability. You have to have maintainability and repairability as one of the basic design criteria. Then that dictates how the phone is made, because or the tablet or the computer. Because the way that they're going now, this is, I don't want to be cynical about this program, because obviously, you know, any sort of right to repair program is potentially a good thing, but I think the devil is in the detail. And my suspicion is that this is more PR than life-changing for people.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I did once take an iPhone apart, but it wasn't one of the newer ones. It was in the early days of iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very fiddly thing to do, but I did manage to do it and glue it all back together again. I needed a hairdryer and all sorts of stuff.
A couple of guitar plectrums.
Yeah, I mean, it was very, very fiddly. But to be fair, it sort of worked. I was doing it off of a YouTube video.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I don't think I would even risk doing that, to be honest.
Well, no, because some of these devices, I mean, the top-end iPhone is over £1,500, and we're talking about iPads and MacBooks as well. So, you know, I don't really see it happening to great extent. I think the answer is this. There are already repair programs. Apple has multiple ways that consumers can have their products repaired. So you can go to Apple, have them repair it, either inside or outside warranty. You can go to an Apple authorized repairer, which is independent. And then you have smaller companies called independent repairers, and they have an independent repair program. The problem is, and really this is what they should be fixing, the problem is this: the independent repairers are not really independent. They are only allowed to take parts from Apple. Apple will only provide them with certain schematics and not others for authorized repairs, and not allow them to do any other thing. And the real problem with all of it, Clive, is cost. Apple will not provide its authorized repairers or independent repairers with individual components. So you may have a main circuit board on a let's say a laptop computer, and one chip may have blown. Yeah, that chip could be $5, but Apple will not sell a repairer that chip, and they will not allow them to get it from anywhere else. In fact, they audit them, and if they're found with any of this contraband stock, as it were, then they're disenfranchised from the program. So instead of a cheap repair that can be done cost effectively, Apple will say, well, the main circuit board needs to be repaired. Instead of the LCD panel within a screen, the whole lid of the laptop, the whole assembly, including the hinges and the back and the front and everything. And at that point, it becomes an economic repair. So you really wonder whether the goal is really to facilitate repairs or to appear to be doing so. So there was an example, I saw an example from the United States, where there was a MacBook Air computer when it was new, it was, I think, a tad over $1,000. And the cost of repairing it was about $850.
Yes.
And no one's going to do that.
And nobody wants to do it, especially if you still you end up with a repaired but old computer as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a sort of built-in obsolescence to these things, isn't there? And especially with things now with batteries that you can't replace yourself.
Yeah. Sealed battery. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, so, these little AirPod things or earbuds that you buy, you can't replace them. You just use them until the battery finally dies. You just throw them away, I presume.
Yeah, and because the batteries are quite small necessarily in those devices, they go through quite a few recharge cycles. So you might find that a pair of AirPods that have cost you hundreds of pounds may last a couple of years before the battery starts expanding and pops. I mean, I've had it happen with not necessarily Apple equipment. I mean, it's common to all of them because lithium-ion batteries expand as well. So they not only cease taking charge, they tend to pop open. So it's not great. And so that's why I say the first thing they have to do is build it into the design. It's not beyond the wit of Apple to make things that are repairable. So you have to ask yourself, are they really serious about it, or are they just trying to get ahead of the legislation that's being drafted in most territories now in response to the right to repair movement?
Yes, I want to ask you more about that. I don't know whether you can answer this one from Shane in Sydney, one of our regular Australian listeners, says, can you ask Fevzi, can you replace a battery in a Samsung A21? Or do you have to buy a whole new mobile phone?
You won't have to buy a whole new mobile phone. But again, the question will be, is it a cost-effective repair if it's a sealed unit? By the way, just one other point before we leave right to repair sort of completely. What Apple have not said what happens to your warranty if you do self-service repair, because not all phones that require or devices that require repair are outside warranty. It just may be that you've broken it and it's not covered by the terms of the warranty which still exists. So once you've opened it up yourself and followed instructions and you know, done it yourself, is your phone still warranted? Is your device still warranted by Apple if it was before?
It's a good question.
They haven't told us that, and I think it's kind of important to know that before we encourage people to open their devices.
So most of these mobile phones, like Shane's, you can, like with an iPhone or all smartphones, presumably you can pay to have a new battery put in.
Yeah.
But it will be pricey, and it's just the judgment then of whether it's worth it or not.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the A21 now. I mean, one would have to check the manual.
A21S, he is.
Oh, right, okay. I mean, it's not a hugely expensive phone to start with. It's a mid-range smartphone. I would say if it's outside warranty and if the battery's gone, there's a good chance it is out. Obviously, well, that's one thing to say. If it's inside warranty and the battery's gone early, then although warranties do not normally cover batteries, if the battery is gone earlier than it was intended, maybe it was a bad batch, then you can look to see if you can get a warranty repair. Otherwise, I would try and take it to an independent repairer and see what they can do for you in terms of a reasonable price, and just try and get them to put a good quality battery in it. And that's the other problem with this, Clive, is that when you really want to go to independent repairers that have a good relationship with the manufacturer, be it Samsung or Apple, but some of them are forced to almost become renegades. You know, they take parts off broken circuit boards so they can do cost-effective repairs and things like that. And once there's no regulation of those independent repairers, you don't know if they're putting a really cheap and nasty battery back, you know, into your device. You've really no way of knowing. It's a bit like again, when you get your car repaired, and you're best advised to get sort of original parts, you know, OEM parts, but sometimes it's hard to know what they use. So you do want them to have a relationship, but you want that to be a relationship which is based upon actually getting the repairs done at a price that the consumers are willing to pay, rather than some sort of facade of there being a repair program, but the reality is we want you to buy a new one.
Fevzi Turkalp is here from GadgetDetective.com. He's got a podcast as well there that you can have a listen to. Susan Eastbourne, hello, Sue.
Oh, hello, Clive.
Hi.
Thank you so much. I love this program. It's brilliant. And hello, Fevzi.
Hello, Sue.
I'm 82, so I don't know really whether I should be ringing you, but I have an Apple Watch.
Yep.
I have an Apple Watch, and what I'm finding is that after a software upgrade,
yes,
I can be on the exercise bike, and it doesn't register on my watch that I've actually the green exercise ring doesn't move round.
Right.
So then it tells me I have to go for a 10-minute brisk walk in order to get it going.
Yeah, mine does that as well. In fact, it's telling me to stand up at the moment.
I know. It does this. I mean, it's brilliant. This has saved me. I've had atrial fibrillation, and it actually warned me, and I was able to send the reading out to the doctor. It's brilliant.
That's literally one of the best features in the Apple Watch is the detection of something called paroxysmal atrial fibrillation, which is which is treatable if you know you've got it. But they think there's up to 500,000 people in this country who have AF that don't know it. And the reason why that's important is that without treatment, the person's risk of stroke is markedly higher. So often people need to be anticoagulated, not in all cases, but there are treatments for this and management techniques, but you have to know you've got it. And often people aren't aware because they often go into AF infrequently, hence the term paroxysmal, but also often when they're asleep. And they don't know. And then you go to the doctor and say, oh, I've had palpitations. The doctor gives them a 24-hour or 7-day monitor to wear. And unless they're very fortunate, they don't have an attack when they're wearing it. It can take years to get a diagnosis and then treatment. But having it on your wristwatch can and is a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So in terms of your problem with this, it's interesting that you say it comes after a software update. I would say what I would do is try and... I assume you use an iPhone or an iOS device of some sort to...
I've got an Apple Watch.
Yeah, and the phone. Yeah. And an Apple phone.
Apple phone and the watch, yes.
Yeah, so what you can do is you can disassociate the watch from the phone and then reassociate it. You know, it's a bit like unplug and plug it in again. Mm. And it forces it to reset. You can even force it to do an update from the phone as well. And that may resolve it. I've sometimes seen it where I've actually had to let the charge die completely. This is not a recommended technique. But, you know, it doesn't take much more than 24 hours for the charge on an Apple Watch to die. You can try and let it die completely and then hope it sort of wakes up in the right mode once it's recharged. But it is a fault in their software, unfortunately. So all you're really doing is trying to find ways of, you know, resetting it. And it's not an exact science, unfortunately, because it can be any number of things that have gone wrong with the update that are causing the problem. But if going for an extra walk solves it, that might be the easiest and most healthy option, actually.
All right. Well, good luck, Sue. Thank you very much. Hope that helps. Tony says, is there such a thing as a Bluetooth selector so I can use my headphones and switch between my PC, mobile, Echo speaker, etc.?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. One of the problems is the way that Bluetooth works is through pairing. And a lot of devices need you to unpair from one device before you can pair to the other. Some sets of headphones do allow you to you know, memorize a couple of different devices, but I'm not aware of that sort of Bluetooth switch. I've never seen one, and I think there would be technical difficulties in making it work well. Apple, for example, has gone to great lengths to try and make Bluetooth more seamless, to the point of putting special chips in its Bluetooth devices for the specific purpose of making pairing easier. But no, I don't think so, because it wasn't really designed to be. It was designed to replace wires between devices on a, you know, tabletop or desktop. It wasn't really designed to, you know, be a patchboard. But maybe that's something that will come with future iterations, but I haven't seen a device that does that.
Yeah, good question, though. Joshua says, is the right to repair that you talk about, does that mean you can buy the parts and repair it yourself, or does it mean you have the right to get the company to repair it?
It means that it doesn't necessarily mean you could repair it yourself, although it can include that, but that won't be the majority of cases. The right to repair is that it should be possible to be able to go to a repairer and for that repairer to be able to get the parts and have access to the schematics and the repair manuals, yeah, so they can identify and therefore have something repaired at a reasonable cost. The whole point of right to repair is not to be pushed into buying a new device when the old one is in principle repairable, but in practice not.
Okay, here's a question. I cannot believe, on batteries and smartphones, this one says, I cannot believe that we have these so-called smartphones and yet we don't have smart batteries that only require charging maybe once a week or a month. I'd like to get rid of my purse. However, if you're low on energy, how can you use your credit and debit cards? It's absolute nonsense. If your car runs on an app and you drive into a river, how would you open the doors or windows to get out? Just saying, Clive, says yeah. Doreen.
Well, you know, and we have the problem with electric cars at the moment that the battery technology is improved, but it's not quite there yet. And that's why you have like a limited range on electric cars. And, you know, people have this sort of fear of being sort of, you know, left without juice, as it were. I think battery technology continues to improve, but we do really need a step forward. It's two things are happening. The batteries are getting better. And the devices are becoming lower power. So as the circuits are built on what's called smaller fabrications, so the size of each transistor on there shrinks, the amount of energy required can go down as well. And we've seen examples of that. For example, where Apple took its processors that it uses in its battery-powered devices like iPhone and iPad, and it started putting it in its Mac desktop and laptop computers. And one of the big effects of that is that the battery life went up hugely, and the amount of heat and noise that they make also went down because they're using more efficient chips. So I think it's a combination of more efficient chips will continue to come, and we need a better battery technology at the moment. Sort of lithium ion is sort of the most common technology, and it has limitations. It's also not always safe. You know, there's a maximum size of lithium ion battery that you're allowed to take onto an aircraft because, you know, if they're damaged, and we've heard of smartphones bursting into flames, unfortunately, or any device. And you may have noticed also that if you receive a package that's got a device in it with a lithium-ion battery, there's a hazard warning sticker on it as well. I once had one. A guy once delivered one of these devices to me, and because I wasn't home, he put it under my car, which is tantamount to putting a bomb.
Not a clever idea.
Under the car. I know. And had I not had the camera, I wouldn't even have known where he put it. I actually was able to replay good the footage grief. And see that he stuck it under the car.
Couple of comments here. Glyn says, on the Apple Watch problem, it is solved apparently by switching the apps back on in the Apple Health app. For some reason, the upgrade switches some apps off. Hope this helps.
Yeah, so this is where different apps are allowed to feed information into and out of Apple's Health app as well. So, yes, that can happen. But it shouldn't do that. I mean, to me, that is a bug.
Yeah.
You know, it should leave the device in the state it was in before, along with all the settings. It shouldn't do that. I mean,
definitely.
You know,
but that sounds like.
Thank you.
Yeah, good advice. So go into the Apple Health app and make sure that the apps, the one you're using, is switched on. This one's just on the comment on repairs. I bought an induction heater that had an easy wipe ceramic top. The ceramic top developed a large crack and needed to be replaced. As an ex-service engineer myself, it was a simple repair job. The company refused to supply me with a spare part, but insisted instead that one of their repair centres could repair it at a cost.
At a huge cost, yeah. Mm. Can I just also say for the listener who had the Samsung A21s?
Oh, yes.
I've been multitasking. I've looked up how that was repaired. It's not simple. It needs a heat gun. It needs plectrums, like little guitar picks, to prise it open. You then need to remove about 8 screws. Then you need to disassemble the fingerprint sensor. You have to pop that off. Then you take the bezel off the device, and then you unplug a couple of other things, and eventually you can get to the battery. You can buy the batteries, but I wouldn't recommend most people do this themselves.
No. Go to a dealer.
If it was not for COVID, you know what I would say is go to a dealer and watch them doing it, because it's kind of interesting to learn what's in your device, and then you can be sure that they've put a new battery in it as well.
Yeah, interesting. But, well, you know, we've run out of time, Fevzi. Great to talk to you as ever. We'll have you back on again very soon, because there's lots more questions I'd like to put to you. And don't forget, Fevzi is on gadgetdetective.com. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed.